Image is an extremely important aspect of today's society. It affects not only how we look at ourselves, but it also affects how we treat others. With rapid increases in weight amongst almost all groups in the United States, some believe America to be in the middle of an obesity epidemic. According to Dr. Abigail Segui, professor and vice chair of sociology at UCLA and author of the book What's Wrong with Fat, the obesity epidemic is more of a metaphor, and not necessarily a useful one at that. By treating weight gain as an epidemic, heavier people are gaining a negative reputation because they are the ones with the alleged disease. While obesity is a health concern, fat prejudice or discrimination based on one's size might be an even larger concern in our society. Today, billboards are plastered with size zero models who have been photoshopped completely out of proportion. Celebrities get cosmetic surgeries left and right, and the internet is filled with the latest crazed diets. There are constant reminders of what society wants people to be. Here's Dr. Segui.
If you're reading a newspaper or you're watching a TV, you're likely to also see images of fat overflowing bellies or bottoms that are without heads, intentionally designed to elicit disgust. Oh, look at that. Gross. Some people would hope that, oh, this is going to raise consciousness and people are going to say, oh, this is an important issue. I'm going to start eating better and taking better care of myself and everyone will lose weight and have better health. That's the hope. I haven't seen any evidence that that's actually the effect of these images.
Weight prejudices may directly harm a person's health. For example, if a heavier woman is afraid to exercise in public because of social stigma, she is going to be less likely to get exercise. In more extreme situations, men and women don't go out at all and deprive themselves of social contact completely because they are ashamed of themselves. Children experience this as well.
Fat kids we know are more likely to be bullied than other kids. And so what effect does it have when they see these images? Oh, yeah, I know, I'm a bad person. Those bullies are right to bully me. What effect does it have on the bullies? They look at it and they say, yeah, there's something wrong with those kids. I need to let them know that.
In today's society, there is a greater awareness of eating disorders, such as anorexia and bulimia. There is a different perception within society of those with anorexia and bulimia and those who are overweight and obese. While obese people are often seen as lazy and undisciplined, anorexics and bulimics tend to be received with much more compassion. Segui did a study in which she compared news media reporting on overweight and obesity with anorexia and bulimia.
Anorexia and bulimia also were much more likely discussed as multifactorial, meaning that there were lots of different reasons that would explain why someone would become, say, anorexic. But the overwhelming message was that there was no one to blame. In contrast, discussions of overweight and obesity, there was some discussion of genetics, there was some discussion of environment, but overwhelmingly, the news media reports focused on the individual person, and when that person was a child, their parents, as blameworthy. They were eating too much, they were eating the wrong things, they were not exercising enough, and that could be that they were willfully ignorant or that they were just ignorant.
The stigma also changes when you add issues of gender into the mix. Women are held to stricter standards of thinness and beauty, while men have a little more lenience for extra weight gain. According to Segui, this is because society believes that men are supposed to be big and strong, meaning that they can be bigger or even fatter than the average woman who is supposed to take up less space.
One of the more interesting essay based on a first-person account is of a person who identifies as genderqueer. So she's biologically female, but presents in a way that's more androgynous and is sometimes seen as a woman and sometimes seen as a man. And she writes about being a part-time fatso. She says that when people see her as a woman, they are much more judgmental. She can't eat in public without getting stares or even in a restaurant. Even walking around, she's much more subject to negative comments and looks. And she has harder time finding clothing that fits. When she's perceived as a man, she's given a lot more leniency in terms of what she can eat and even just taking up space.
Segui believes that weight discrimination may even be a problem in the college environment. Because college provides a sense of freedom and a sense of responsibility for one's actions, college life creates an environment that fosters negative stigma against being overweight and obese, which is often associated with being lazy and with gluttony and immorality. Because with so much freedom, it is easier to blame the heavier individual for not losing weight and for not conforming to the ideal image.
There's documented discrimination along the way, including one study that has shown that, this is very troubling, that parents are less likely to pay for their daughter's college education if she's heavy. So that's even an issue, even before sort of looking at what's the interactions of people on campus. It's who gets to UCLA in the first place. Are there accommodations? Are there bigger seats that are comfortable? Is it a welcoming environment? I don't know that we're asking these questions. I think we care about diversity at UCLA, but I don't know that we're talking about size diversity.
Living in a college environment can be quite stressful in and of itself, but when you add the stress and low self-esteem that often accompanies body image, it can be even more difficult. Dr. Gia Marson, licensed psychologist and director of the Eating Disorder Program at the Counseling and Psychological Services, or CAPS, elaborates.
At UCLA or at CAPS, our statistics kind of reflect what happens in the community at large. So it's approximately 6% of students that come in meet criteria for an eating disorder. Self-image problems are a lot more widespread.
Students at UCLA are also subject to the ideas that stem from talk about the obesity epidemic. As a student, one is constantly exposed to media advertisements, and this combined with the peer pressure and fact that many students are going through their own journey of self-discovery can all impact them. UCLA student Nasaharan Sunhonyutin, first-year biology student, discusses his views on self-image.
I feel like the media puts way too much emphasis on how important body image is than should be. I think body image it's really a personal preference. Like, it depends on the person themselves if they care about their body image or not. People are going to judge other people by their body image, but people shouldn't care.
I think obese is definitely a negative word. I mean, it definitely has a negative connotation to it, since who likes to be called obese?
Alec Yangley, a first-year political science student, also gives his opinion on body image.
For me, body image is somewhat important, you know, but it's more from a health standpoint than anything else. The media and sort of the social landscape has produced this ideal man or this ideal woman. So yeah, obviously, I'm naturally more inclined to want to be that ideal man. Skinny is, you know, you're someone who's fit. I think, you know, you can have a few extra pounds and still be considered skinny, I think that's fine. Obese is, you are way overweight. And beautiful is not connected to weight, because you could be a little chubby and still be beautiful.
With so much stigma surrounding ourselves, change seems difficult to attain. Sagi proposes the possibility of a solution.
I think we need to discuss it, and we also need to discuss the fact that all of this talk of the obesity epidemic may in fact be worsening the stigma, which is itself a public health problem.
Dr. Marson also discusses what she believes can be done to change the stigmas and improve society.
Reducing things like talking about weight as if it means health, complimenting people when they lose weight, I'd like to see that stop. And I think as much as the media creates change, they also reflect change. And so if we change, the media will have to change with us, because we won't tune into those channels, we won't buy those magazines, we won't seek out those resources unless they reflect what we value. So if we change our values and our dialogue, they will have to change with us.
CAPS at UCLA offers a variety of programs to help students get through the stress of low body image and self-worth, as well as eating disorders. One such program is a student-run group called Reflections. There are wellness workshops and skills groups that help people identify what kind of foods their body needs, depending on what their daily lives look like. In terms of clinical treatment, CAPS assesses students and has students go through medical checks. CAPS also works with the student's medical doctor and a CAPS social worker or psychologist, as well as families. For Daily Bruin Radio, I'm Neha Reddy.